gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Corey Davis behind the defense. He's going to score. Caught. Touchdown. They take the lead with 22 seconds left.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the Jets are going to beat the Browns in shocking fashion.
It's apparently Joe Flacco time.
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long, four-time Grammy Award winner Darius Rucker, plus your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, yes. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live in Los Angeles, California, here on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate of the Odyssey Network, coast to coast. We're so close, this close. We're so close to being back on Sirius XM. I can't wait to tell you when it's going to be this week. I've been told it's going to be this week. We're so, so close that we're going to go in shotgun formation to get that inch. That's how close we are to being back on Sirius XM on the Rich Eisen Show. So excited to be here after an outstanding weekend of sports. It's such a great day to be here on a Monday. Good to see you over there,
hey,
Chris
Rich.
Brockman. How are you, sir?
What up, yo?
Good to see my audio executive, DJ Mikey D. Is in D's nuts. How are you, Mike?
Good
to
Rich.
See you
good
guys.
Morning.
Good to see you guys here. TJ Jefferson has settled into his seat. Have you lit the candle?
What's I didn't light the candle yet, Rich.
You don't have your lighter?
The lighter's missing, but, you know, okay. What a great weekend of sports.
It was amazing. And wait, I mean, it may have been the greatest weekend of sports for this show. And I can't wait to have this conversation throughout. But this is why we love being on the Roku channel and this radio station. And then we have the podcast version of the show where all podcasts can be acquired on the Cumulus Podcast Network. And we're thrilled that we're able to be seen and heard in the manner in which we're able to be seen and heard. And our YouTube stream is the backstop, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. And again, this show wheels on series on the Roku channel, channel 210. Meaning as soon as we're done, it just keeps repeating and repeating. You can't miss us. And coming off a weekend like the one that we just had, it's so delightful. And I kind of just wrote down notes here about what happened over the weekend. Just real quick, just to sum up briefly.
Crazy.
Just to sum up briefly what happened on the week two Sunday in the NFL. Brockman, your Pats win in Pittsburgh.
Hey.
Who'd have thought that? And Mac Jones looked like the better quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky. And yeah. Nelson Aguilar leaped and made a play. And all Philadelphia Eagles fans are saying, where the hell did that guy come from? And right. And Patriots fans, just in time, they do not start 0-2 for the first time since 2001. Yes. They do get that win. And then the Jacksonville Jaguars shut out the Colts. If the Colts could look any worse than they did in week 18 last year, and nobody thought that they could. They even excommunicated Carson Wentz because of it. They looked worse. They actually looked worse. They got shut out by the Colts and by the Jaguars, who are now 1-1. And they're the only team, as we currently sit here in the AFC South, with a win, because the Titans take on the Bills tonight. The Jaguars, the first AFC South team to win a game in 2022. The Giants are 2-0 for the first time since 2016, after Baker Mayfield shows up with Carolina and starts to maybe plant the flag in the middle of MetLife. But Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and Brian Daboll, they're 2-0 for the first time in 6 years, and the Giants are making their fans feel young again. The Lions beat down and then beat back the aforementioned Carson Wentz and the Commanders as they... Aiden Hutchinson with not one, not two, but three sacks in that game. And the Lions are on the board for the first time in 2022. The Bucs and the Saints beat each other up figuratively and then literally and then figuratively again. Exactly what we expected when the Saints and Bucs play one another. Points at a premium. Tom Brady angry and frustrated. And then Mike Evans going after Marshawn Lattimore. I mean, you could basically set your watches and your clocks to that. And it was a Donnybrook in the NFC South. And the Bucs have now opened their season 2-0 with wins in Dallas and in New Orleans. And that's the way the NFC South has opened up in 2022. After all the conversation about Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance breaks his ankle. He needs surgery. He has it. He's out for the season. And the 49ers in just week two cash in their Jimmy Garoppolo insurance policy that they were smart enough to go and get. And whatever premium they were paying on it, boy, it doesn't matter. Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners are now going to move forward in 2022, and we'll see what happens with Trey Lance down the road. But right now, they're running it back with Jimmy G, and the 49ers come up with their first win of the year. And at some point, they will play a football game, I assume, where it's not raining on them. And then you've got Cooper Rush week beginning with an outdueling of Joey Burrow for the Dallas Cowboys, who get it done. Yes. Come on.
How about them Cowboys?
There it is. There it is. The Dallas Cowboys, they do not lose with Cooper Rush starting in place of Dak Prescott. As a matter of fact, it's Joe Burrow and the AFC champion, defending AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals, who start 0-2 as Burrow gets sacked six times again, beat up. And they do gamely come back, and it did look like overtime was forced. But guess who had proper clock management and clocked the ball properly to stop the clock so they could actually have a play? The Dallas Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Cooper Rush.
Nice, Dallas finally has a quarterback.
Duh. Cooper Rush.
We just let that one go.
Getting it done for the Cowboys.
He's better than Dak.
You're right, Chris. He is. Yeah.
Denver still can't score touchdowns in the red zone, and Nathaniel Hackett, they're still waiting.
Are we going to ride ever?
They're still
waiting. When does the ride happen?
I'm still waiting. They came up with their first win.
Waiting for the ride.
The Houston Texans put a scare in Denver, but Russell got a pass actually caught in the end zone with both feet inbounds by his receiver. And there's still lots of questions whether Nathaniel Hackett, the game's too fast for him, but the Broncos do, in fact, ride. They're 1-1 the AFC West. The Rams go up big at home. And would you believe it, of all the teams to mount a comeback, it's the Atlanta Falcons. Normally, they're on the wrong side of this.
Factual.
And the Falcons put a scare in the Rams. Drake London coming back to where he played his college ball and showing off his skills.
Man, he's good.
And the Atlanta Falcons almost pull it off against the L.A. Rams, who do get their first win of the year. Cooper Kupp with zero catches, zero targets in the first quarter, and still wound up with, let me check it out, 1,000 yards receiving in that game.
and eight touchdowns.
The Rams are relieved that they're on the board. And the two Aarons in the night game relax absolutely everyone in Green Bay after the Rams come up with that win to send us into the night games with the two Aarons getting everyone relaxed, even though Justin Fields and the Bears put themselves on the board first, but the Packers come up with the win. And then there's the three comebacks that happened earlier in the day. The Raiders go up 20-0 at half on the Cardinals, and then here comes Kyler Murray, where it just didn't Kyler Murray things where you just couldn't put him down. You couldn't put him on his ass. You couldn't stop him. He kept on going. He kept on going. He kept on going. The Raiders stopped scoring points. And the Cardinals go in to Vegas and force overtime on a no time left 2-point conversion after Kyler Murray came up with a previous 2-point conversion where he ran around for, I counted it, 15 seconds before putting it in the end zone. That's how they forced overtime. Somehow the Raiders got Murray off the field. They got the ball. Hunter Renfrow put it on the ground once, got it back, then put it on the ground a second time, and then a walk-off defensive touchdown for the Cardinals, who get themselves on the board. And it's the Raiders, who are the wild card team from last year, that are now sitting at 0-2. The Browns were up 31-17 with a minute 55 to go. And the New York Jets get a 66-yarder from Corey Davis over a defense of the Browns that looked like they were playing third base for the Pittsburgh Pirates having sunflower seeds during a play.
With their gloves off?
And Corey Davis scores, and then the Jets get an onside kick from Greg Zuerlein, who earlier in the day was the first kicker ever to hit a 57-yard field goal from on top of an elf. And the Jets then score again. Garrett Wilson, two touchdowns. The Buckeye, who had dropped one earlier in the game, comes back and gets the game-winning touchdown, and he OHs in the face of Browns fans who are stunned. And the Jets do not go to 0-2. They are a winner in week number two. But all of that, everything that I've just said, I just recapped briefly every game that happened on Sunday, but they all pale in comparison. Everything that I just recapped in the league from your week two Sunday, everything pales in comparison to what the Miami Dolphins did to the Baltimore Ravens. Because what the Miami Dolphins did to the Baltimore Ravens in a league where, yes, it's a Monday after playing these games and you overreact, but what the Dolphins did to the Ravens in Baltimore in the fourth quarter in particular on Sunday, what the Dolphins put up on the Ravens, what the Dolphins made the Ravens go through, what they did to the Ravens, what they apparently can do when they put their pedal to the metal. Resets. Yes, the AFC East, if not the entire conference. We need to see it over and over again. I understand it. But I did not think the Buffalo Bills would have anybody in their division or anybody in their conference outside of the Chiefs showing an ability to go point for point with them. And to have an offense that puts so much pressure on the defense, you're basically trying to tap out. You're calling uncle. You're calling your aunt. You're calling whoever to say, make it stop, please. Because this Dolphins offense is relentless. It is dynamic. Fast. And it seems like it's got 200 plays in their playbook. They are fast. They are very, very troublesome. If you've got anybody suspect in the back end of your defense, and the Ravens clearly did and do, and they got exposed by Salty Tua. You betcha. 36 for 50, 469 yards, six touchdowns. The four touchdowns in the fourth quarter, they needed it. They were down 35-14 entering the fourth quarter. And Tua starts slinging it. And he's throwing go routes, and he's throwing quick passes, and he's spinning out of trouble, and he is a problem. Yes, he's throwing accurate, catchable balls. Yeah, that happened. Mike McDaniel, God bless him, what he has brought to this equation, he's brought belief. And we were all like, yeah, most accurate ball you've ever seen. Got it. He's calling Tua from the plane from his PJ with his family being flown to South Florida, talking him up. Yeah, we get it. We got it. Sure, Mike, you're just talking your quarterback up. Well, good job. Check that box. And he's just, I just love his style, man. He didn't use any of our cliches. He didn't have to. But this is what he had to say about the comeback win. Go for it.
I mean, we've been talking about it. We just had a game where we were able to have the lead the whole game. And so the night before I told the guys that, you know, I was really hoping that we'd get some adversity in this game. And like, I want to see how we respond to a deficit. And apparently they just took me way too literal.
I just love him. He cracks me up. He cracks me up. Let me just tell you, folks, what we saw yesterday in the fourth quarter and throughout. The six touchdowns by Tua Tagovailoa, the first Dolphin to do it since Dan Marino, who, by the way, was there celebrating with the team in the locker room. Yes, sir. First Dolphin quarterback since Marino in 86 to do it. The only other one was named Bob Greasy, who did it in 77. He 28 in the fourth quarter, the 28 points in the fourth quarter, he was 13 to 17 for four touchdowns and a quarterback rating of 154.2. Marino can't believe it himself. Third quarter since 1991, third quarterback, it's the first time ever a quarterback has thrown for over 400 yards and five or more touchdowns, and two others on his team had 170 yards receiving and two or more touchdowns in the same game. Tyreek Hill, 11 catches for 190 yards and two scores. Waddle, 11 catches, 171 yards and two scores. Only teammates in the Super Bowl era to have those stat lines of 170 or more receiving yards and two or more touchdowns in the same game. The only other teammates to do it, Don Hutson and Andy Yurum, who I believe I'm saying his name right, for the Packers in 1942. It's the 10th fourth quarter comeback when down by 20 or more points in NFL history. The last one was the miracle at the Meadowlands 2 when the Eagles came back on the Giants and Deshaun Jackson walked it off on a punt return.
Yeah, that was wild.
Since 2011, teams entering the fourth quarter in the NFL, since that day that Deshaun Jackson walked in the end zone. Since 2011, teams down by 21 or more in the fourth quarter, 0-710. It was so impressive what the Dolphins did. Lamar Jackson became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw a touchdown pass for 75 or more yards and run one in from 75 or more yards out. And it's not even in the top five stats we're mentioning from the game. Lamar Jackson was entering the fourth quarter total MVP candidate, and he may still. We're marathoning. We're not sprinting. But that's what the Dolphins did. They erased it. Erased it. And it's Tua who's doing it. And Justin Herbert's got fractured rib cartilage. Who knew such a thing existed? And Joe Burrow is 0-2. And you know who's Tua and 0? The guy who's been much maligned because of the other two quarterbacks I just mentioned. Raging success. And just to put a point on it, yes, the Dolphins can do this. They've won a game, just like the Chiefs. They've now won a game where their offense gets rolling and can't be stopped. And they've come back doing that. The Chiefs won a game where they were leading throughout and their offense was rolling and could not be stopped. The Dolphins won such a game in week one. Their offense wasn't rolling because Belichick is Belichick. And the Patriots are the Patriots, and it's a division game, and it was week one. But the Dolphins put points on the board and put a defensive score on the board. And the Dolphins now have come back, and they've won games where they've been leading throughout when they're struggling. And they've won a game in which they were struggling, and it didn't matter because they could put points on you in a hurry. And the question is, can they do that to the Bills? Can they beat the Bills in this division? We're going to find out. You know when? In 6 days. Because that's who's next for Tua. They go home to take on the Bills.
Baby.
We're going to find that out fast. And the Bills are coming in off a short week. And we'll see if the Titans can tenderize them a little bit tonight. And then there's the conference. Everybody can say, oh, it's just still Tua. It's Tua. The ball flutters a little bit. He throws it here. Who cares if it's fluttering or under throwing or it's perfect? Because Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are going to kill you. And Gesicki jumped. He nearly hit his head on the crossbar right behind him catching one. That Tua high pointed on 3rd and 13. So, look out for the Dolphins.
If the playoffs started today, the Dolphins are the 2 seed.
Very good. No, I know, and I know you make a good point. There's so much, and we overreact, and the Dolphins can look terrible next week. I know
it was
that,
exciting,
but we've been talking about who's the next Marino. When are they going to look like that again? Well, guess what? They did stuff that Marino, Duper, and Clayton did yesterday with Tua, Waddle, and Hill. In Baltimore, when Baltimore hit him with an opening kickoff for a touchdown.
Right.
And then Baltimore went up 35-14 on him.
Ravens also fumbled on the 1 yard line.
Well, I think they're missing J.K. Dobbins. They have somebody who can pick up some short yardage and get in the end zone. And, you know, so that's my take on week one.
Crazy game.
I do want to dive in a little bit more on the Cowboys and the 49ers and some of these other comebacks. And Chris Long is going to help me do it. Gosh, I love when he comes on the show. The two-time Super Bowl winner and the podcaster. He's got a great Green Lights podcast. It's called the Green Light Podcast. It's coming up. He's coming up in hour number two. Then hour number three, it's great when you book a guest prior to the weekend thinking, you know, he's popular. And we'll have him on a Monday because he talks football and he's a Dolphin fan. So you never know. Perfect timing. Darius Rucker will be joining us, I think, from Cloud 9. Dolphins fans have got to be out of their skulls.
Dolphins didn't make him cry last night, did they?
Ew.
Good one. Thank you. Very good one.
Thank you. I think that's why I'm here.
Somebody send, when I tweeted out during the Sunday night game that Darius Rucker's coming on, somebody's tweeting me a photograph of McDaniel in a hoodie, and he says you should be called Hoodie in the Blowfish. Going.
Well, I don't know, that shouldn't have been funny, but that was funny.
That was good. You didn't see it coming. Well, that was didn't see it coming. All right, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. What do you think? That's the way we come out of the box. Talk about week two. I'll tell you what, we got two games tonight, too.
Love it. I love the Monday doubleheaders.
College football. College football to be discussed as well. Aaron Judge hit two home runs.
Man.
Jacob DeGrom struck out 13.
Hey, the Subway Series is happening, Rich.
All right.
It's going down.
Overreaction Monday as the centerpiece of this program as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Ain't Bobby so cool.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Tomorrow on Netflix. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Roku channel and so much more right here on our program. Oh my gosh. Navy Federal Credit Union. One thing that you need to know about when you become a member of Navy Federal Credit Union, life just gets better. The one big thing that gets better is buying a car. See, Navy Federal created a fully loaded car buying experience where you can finance, buy, protect, and enjoy your auto purchase all from one convenient place. They offer great auto loan rates too. And your pre-approval is good for 90 days, so you know what you can afford while you shop. You can even shop for new and used cars with Navy Federal Car Buying Service powered by TrueCar. Also, you can get exclusive member savings with Carfax, SiriusXM, and more. And because it is Navy Federal, they're always available with 24/7 member service representatives to answer any questions. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/car buying. That's NavyFederal.org/car buying. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA. Hey, look, depth at the quarterback position, it's the key. It's so crucial. And what's so crazy is, you know, when you need that backup quarterback, it's kind of like a lawyer, right? You never think you need a quality one until it's time that the chips go down and you need one. And I say that my older brother's a lawyer.
We want to plug him real quick.
He's one of the best around. So look, you need that depth. You need it. And man, did we see that in week number two or what? Because the number one story leading into the playing season from the middle of August on was all about what the Niners did with Jimmy Garoppolo and how they got him to stay and why they got him to stay. And the why they got him to stay was all born out of they deep down, heart of hearts, hooked up to a meet the parents truth lie detector machine. They had reservations about Trey Lance's readiness and ability to lead the team. And that's what the why was. Now, they swore up and down that's not what the why was. The why was, why would we release him and let him go somewhere else when maybe why not? He'll want to stay. That was the why. That why would he want to go and get cut and then wind up in a new spot, learning a new offense, learning a new system, learning a new route to work, a new locker room, a new coach? Why would he want to do that without a guarantee to start, which we're guaranteeing him you're not starting here, no matter how much Lance struggles? Why not stay here? And Garoppolo was of like mind and stayed. And unbelievably, man, the football gods just constantly wink at you. Trey Lance on what appeared to be any old normal running play that you call between the tackles for your quarterback. Yeah, he goes down.
Wasn't anything.
It didn't look like, oh, were you one of those things where you go, oh, my gosh, he looked like that's going to leave a mark. As a matter of fact, his teammates started helping him up, and then he just went right down to the ground.
Oh.
And then out comes the cart. And then out comes that air cast. And you're like, wait a minute. Really? On that play? And
then you see his foot facing sideways.
And then you're like, that's it.
Yeah.
After all of that conversation, after all of that at the draft 2 years ago, leading up, making that deal weeks before the draft and the conversation, who's it going to be? And it winds up being Lance. And now they finally turn things over to Lance in year two. And all he's going to have going into year three is three full games as a starter. It was his fourth career start. He had two last year for the injured Garoppolo at different parts of the season. And then one last week where they lost in the rain in Chicago. And then last game of the year for him yesterday. That's it. And the question's going to be, because in the NFL is the NFL. You live for the moment. And I know Niner fans are like, you know, freaking out in a way. Because that's the future. That's the future. And unfortunately, this being the NFL, you must live in the present moment. You must go to the next man up. And thank goodness for the Niners, the next man up is Jimmy Garoppolo. Could you imagine if this was now Nate Sudfeld's team? Brock Purdy? Your Mr. Irrelevant now becomes a hell of a lot more relevant. He's the backup. If you're the Niners, do you now consider maybe shoring up the backup position behind Garoppolo? Because as you know, he doesn't usually play all 16.
I mean, with who, though?
I don't know, brother.
I'll tell you what, if I'm Jimmy G, though, I don't play another snap. I don't practice until they make my contract whole again. Oh, hey, I took a $6 million. I'm on the hook for $6 million. I want the $23 back before I play again.
Guess what? That's not the way it works.
It is if he says I'm not playing.
Are you really counseling Jimmy Garoppolo to show up to work and say I'm not playing until you pay me my money?
Yes, absolutely.
You're ridiculous.
Absolutely.
With all due respect.
He's going to save all their jobs this year.
I understand what his role is. That's the role of a backup quarterback. You could say any backup quarterback.
Except he took him to a Super Bowl and an NFC championship.
You could say any backup quarterback can take the stance like Cooper Rush can right now. Hey, you should pay me more money before I play more games because I'm here to try and save your season.
He's not giving that gig up.
Look, man, what this guy is going to have to do is exactly what you are pointing out in a very roundabout way as to what he can do for this team and what he has done for this team and what the team didn't think he would have to do this year. And it's just really one of the most remarkable turn of events. We saw one on the scoreboard multiple times with the Jets coming back on Cleveland and the Dolphins coming back on the Ravens and the Cardinals coming back on the Raiders. But Jimmy G coming back on the radar screen after he was not even given a playbook.
Hello, Dennis. Can you hear me?
At the beginning of training camp. He was on the depth chart as the fourth quarterback. Crazy. When asked why I have it written down here. The answer was because from Kyle Shanahan, is because There's no other spot basically to put him. It's because if he's fourth on the depth chart, it's because he has to be. That was the quote. Exactly. I have it written down here.
Crazy.
Now he's the starting quarterback for a 49er team, and he might win the Super Bowl for him.
They're good enough. The NFC is so wide open.
Here we go. Jimmy Garoppolo back in the saddle again. And kudos to John Lynch and Shanahan and the rest of that organization for creating the space to make it possible. And Garoppolo, kudos to him for saying, all right, I'll stick around. And now they broke the Jimmy Garoppolo glass in the middle of the second quarter, in the middle of the second week. And for Lance,
not at the moment, I don't think.
I'll be honest. You know I'm a Lance guy, and I've been very high on his ability, but I don't know if he'll play and start for the Niners again. Because if Jimmy G wins the Super Bowl for him, it's not like he's so damn long in the tooth
sir.
That they can't just say...
He's also a free agent.
I know that.
Yeah.
That they can't just say, Jimmy, you're sticking with us. And Trey, you're the backup until Jimmy's run its course. And now suddenly he's the Jordan Love of this equation. Because...
Okay, what about now?
You know, some Niner fans that I ran into yesterday were texting with, and no, I know a bunch of them. They're all like, man, we gave up so many picks for him. I'm like, well, if there's any franchise that could survive losing the draft picks, it's this one. Coach is not going anywhere, and the GM's not going anywhere, even though there's some in San Francisco in the media that are trying to think that the hot seat is hot for Shanahan. He was asked, I believe his name is Grant Cohen of the in the Bay Area, about why he ran Trey Lance. And did he put his quarterback in harm's way
until
with his play calling? Seriously, here it is, yeah.
I mean, do you guys watch other teams in this league? I mean, Buffalo does it all the time. With their quarterback, it's a pretty normal play. It's part of football, and it's unfortunate that he hurt his ankle on it. But it's a very normal ran play. You guys should watch some other people.
You should watch some other people.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fluke thing. It's a one in a million.
It sure is, brother.
Injury, you know?
I mean, it sure is.
You can keep it on you.
So, honestly, Trey Lance, go rehab, come back, try hard. But this is Jimmy Garoppolo's team now. And if I'm Jimmy, I am not relinquishing. I am not relinquishing
that role. No, it's set up. He's going to be great.
I know. And you can't sit here, like I was saying, you can't not go to the kid when you use all those draft choices. I don't know how operational that situation is going to be, that you have to go to the kid because you used so many draft choices to go get him when you're, you know, almost done with the drafts of not drafting without him. You're halfway through it.
Yeah.
And if Garoppolo's the guy, then... You got Debo and Bosa and Kittle. They're not so damn long in the tooth that you need that first round draft choice so badly.
Okay, so when you do
just like the Rams.
Hear, like,
okay, keep going.
Sounds.
You don't have first rounders, but you have late rounders. Go ahead on them.
Okay.
And to your point, too, it's not like you're putting in Mr. Irrelevant. The locker room is comfortable, and they know that Jimmy can get the job done.
All rise. Terzo in Iowa, our 49er fan right in the nation's heartland. What's up, Terzo?
What's up, Rich? Man, this past weekend was pretty crazy. I do feel bad for Trey Lance and that injury. And I saw it in real life or in real time whenever it happened. I knew that ankle was broken. Everybody was like, what's wrong? I was like, watch the replay because you're going to see it. And I feel bad for the kid, but I'm happy our insurance policy's paying off.
I got to tell you, everybody thought, yeah, the Niners are doing it just because they don't believe in Lance. And... now they certainly believe in getting the roster right. What a stroke of genius by, again, the rest of the team to make it possible, make it happen. It's just insane.
And I think in his contract, and I just saw something this morning on it, is each start that he has, it's worth $250,000. Each win, it bumps it up to $350,000.
Well, I mean, so that's
it's pretty well incentive-based.
And thanks to Carl Terzo. Again, just to... the story's insane. I mean, the team apparently didn't even know he was going to have shoulder surgery. He has it, so he can't be traded. And now he winds up being the most important piece that they have.
Also, Richie,
Terzo
took something I was going to bring on that bonus. If he wins 10 games this year, he's going to get an extra $3.5 million.
But to Chris's point, it still doesn't make up the delta of what he was making.
It doesn't, but
that's
capped,
what you...
Capped out at $12 million if he hits every single incentive and they win the Super Bowl.
He may damn just.
So, it's not 24.
But it's something.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, we'll talk about the other two backups. Cooper Rush and Joe Flacco.
I told you to have faith. You had this Super Bowl winning backup, Rich. I told you that.
Guys, I will have the floor.
I wasn't joking.
I will have the floor when I come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show, and so will you at 844-204-RICH. See you on the Roku channel, Odyssey, and this terrestrial radio affiliate in a moment.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
You can listen to the NFL on the NFL app, on the Audience app, on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and get you back on the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Get in the zone.
Guys, please. Just give me a second. AutoZone.
You're doing your ESPN.
No, that would be this. That's the guy who smokes 15 packs a day. Next on SportsCenter. I once did an entire Sunday night.
Guy?
I once did an entire Sunday night. Because they used to, one time they were like, you guys, oh gosh, this is a great story.
It better be now.
Maybe this is why I haven't gotten an ESPY invite in 19 years.
This is cutting into your Jets rant.
That's all right. That's okay. All right. It's time. But this takes
three hours.
Is that we were told, hey, you gotta improve your bumps to break, your teases to break, because we need to keep people
locked in
through the commercial break. And this is what, you know, they had some sort of consulting firm that said, you know, you're losing audiences in this break and that break. And so they were really after us about, why don't you go to break asking questions like, can the Jets come back on the Browns? We'll tell you why. And it's just like, you know, of course they can, you know. And so they would. We were still not doing it well enough. No, so they said, screw it. We're writing it, and you're just going to lay out at the end of your segment, and then we'll have an announcer read the voice the bumps to break.
There you go.
And so there's in the days leading up to that finally happening, I did my breaks in this voice for an entire show. Coming up, can the Ravens stop the Dolphins' aerial attack? We'll let you know. Next, this is SportsCenter. That's what I did. By the way, that hurts. I need a lozenge now.
I was going to say, that's
I know, it's not easy. At any rate, hi.
Hey.
Hey, man. Say what you will about the Dallas Cowboys, and we say a lot of will.
Of course.
Okay, we say a lot. Say a lot about your team.
Yeah, you do.
Say a lot about Jerry Jones. Say a lot about this and that, the other thing. Cooper Rush can win some games. The question is, can he sustain them? But what he can do is he can find Noah Brown. He can get the ball to CeeDee Lamb a little bit. Not too much, but not a little bit. And all he needed to do, all Cooper Rush needed to do, was give him a little something on offense. Give him something. Maybe put one in the end zone. Noah Brown, touchdown pass, check that box, right? Did he turn the ball over? Did Cooper Rush turn the ball over?
I don't think so.
He did.
No.
I think Cooper Rush clean sheeted it, quite frankly. And we needed a little bit of a running attack. We needed to see Zeke, you know, doing the eat motion. I'm not seeing Tony Pollard get the ball enough for my liking.
He broke off.
Did you see the Tony Pollard big play?
I know. That's what I'm saying. Even Romo goes to break at one point, saying, "Where's Pollard?" But anyway, Cooper Rush clean sheeted it.
Clean sheet. 235. Yeah.
Touchdowns all we need. 19-31. You know, it's a higher register to stat line.
95 passer rating.
That's not bad. I mean, that's all we need.
Give the defense a chance to win.
It was a higher register stat line. And then the defense will just take care of the rest. Sack Joe Burrow 6 times, get him off the field, and then it's just in time. Then you just leave it up to Cooper Rush and Mike McCarthy to get you home. And when you get the ball back after the Bengals tie the game on you, and thinking, here we go, and now it's time to actually clock manage your way down the field, and they did it. Clocked the ball, got everyone set. Romo was basically holding everybody's hand, going, okay, all you got to do, Jim, is just get the ball down. Yeah. To make sure everyone said, okay, there we got it. And Brett Maher.
Maher.
Is it a one or two syllable name? He's one of those guys. Is it two syllables or one? Is it Mar or Maher?
I think it's two.
Okay.
Maher.
Well, that's what Maher said.
Ma drained it.
And he drained it. Drano.
Yeah,
he did.
Ma down the middle.
And
Maher, act like you know.
And man, that sets up quite the Monday night or next week to wrap up week 3. Cowboys at the G-Men.
Tried to tell you guys we'd be 1-1 after 2. Oh, you didn't want to believe me, though.
Come on.
You didn't want to believe you.
Did I do the Cowboys schedule? Yes. Did I say we'd be 1-1? Yeah. Okay,
then. You didn't do the Cowboys schedule after Dak got hurt.
I didn't do that, though.
I know, but you didn't believe they'd be.
Oh, why?
You didn't think they were going to win yesterday?
Sure. I told you before. What did I say about the Bengals? I always said this. I said, were the Bengals a good team last year, or did they just get hot at the right time?
Oh, boy.
Yes or no? Did I not say that?
When did you say it? Excuse me.
You know that things we say in this mic and under the camera, they live on video.
Guys, let me just step in and separate the two of you. Let me just look over here and say to you, the Bengals could be both things, that they were a good team that got hot at the right time. And right now, they don't have that consistency on their newly revamped offensive line yet, because Burrow is exposed and Mixon hasn't ripped off one of those Buck Fitty games yet. And I'm not ready to count out the Bengals. I was ready to count out the Cowboys, though.
Well, you got to have faith, bro.
Hey, look, as Irvin said on game day morning, if he plays 6 games, give me 3 wins. If he plays 8 games, give me 4 wins. Yeah. That's all he wants.
That's all you want. He wants 500 with him.
And right now he's played 1 game, and he's got 1 win. He's 1-for-1.
First 6 games aren't that tough.
And I'll tell you what, man. He goes into Monday night, New Jersey. Cooper Rush can win that one, too.
That's going to be the tough win.
Hey, he went into Minnesota on a Sunday night.
Yeah. Settle down just a little bit.
Yeah, but kudos to you.
Nobody's not settled.
But kudos to your team.
You know what's so crazy?
Hey, man.
Is that, like, it breaks my heart that they're like people out there that didn't believe in us, Rich.
No, stop.
Human beings didn't believe in us. But you know what? God did.
You didn't believe in
me. Wow.
God did.
Wow. The football gods did. Okay, very good. How about them Cowboys? Very good. I'm glad that you're happy.
That's just a shout out to DJ Khaled, if you know, you know.
What is happening?
Okay. I've got an apology to make here.
What?
Whoa.
I am apologizing.
I accept it, Rich.
Because I definitely made some asides. I made some snide broadsides and asides. Made a lot of ides. I did.
To who? Because
I apologize profusely.
To the Elves?
To Broadway Joe Flacco. Oh.
Where's the mink?
Yeah. I apologize profusely.
You didn't believe
to Broadway Joe Flacco, who threw 59 times against the Ravens. And I'm like, what are we doing? What are we doing? What we're doing is...
You did say that.
Yeah, we were building up his arm strength. That's what we were doing.
Muscle memory, Rich.
And what the Jets have, is they have some really talented young kids who don't know what I know and have known for 50-plus years of getting kicked in the nards by the football gods, to the point where Zach Wilson spends week 1 coming off of surgery just up the road here in Southern California. And what I know...
What you know, Rich?
Now is they got some young kids who do not care what the score is. And thankfully, they were taking on a Cleveland Browns team who, if I am a fan of that team... I am staring right at the defense I'm staring right at whoever was playing on defense after Nick Chubb scored for the umpteenth time to put this team up 30 to 17 with a minute 55 to go. Nick Chubb scored three touchdowns, and Amari Cooper got in the end zone. And everything's looking hunky-dory, and the elf looked great, and everybody's feeling it. And they're going to go to 2-0 for the first time since Belichick was coach in 1993. And whoever was playing defense when Joe Flacco threw one up top to Corey Davis for 66 yards to make it a 30-24 contest. And they were jogging after him. I mean, take a look at the
Denzel
video.
Denzel Ward.
Take a look at the video. They were all like, okay, yeah, go. You go. They weren't even trying to run him down. They're like, yeah, that's over. We'll just get the onside kick and go home.
Yep.
Except the onside kick actually went the way of the Jets. First time that they have recovered an onside kick in 6 years. And, yeah, the Jets get the ball back. And Garrett Wilson gets the touchdown pass from Joe Flacco, who was just winging it all over the place. And Garrett Wilson is raising his hand saying, you know what? I've got offensive rookie of the year potential myself. And Corey Davis is scoring a 66-yarder. And Breece Hall scores a touchdown, too. So, yeah. That was awesome. I didn't see that one coming. And the Jets have some comeback, bounce back ability.
We talking playoffs or what?
You know what? I'm going to just take it a week at a time because Joe Burrow and the 0-2 Bengals are coming in next week. But why not?
I mean,
why not? We got a kid from Cincinnati ourselves who's a game changer, culture changer, sitting in the back of that defense with his sauce.
Yeah, man.
Joe Broadway, Joe Flacco looked. I even tweeted out middle of the game. If there was only a higher register font on Twitter, I'm like, Joe Flacco looked sharp, and he did. He was decisive. He was quick. And Zach Wilson, take note. Take note. Same way that Dak should take note. By the way, in Dallas, if I may have the temerity to talk about the privilege that Cooper Rush is providing with his play?
You don't. I mean, you say it, but you don't believe it.
I do.
But no, you don't.
I mean, Zach Wilson's going to have all season to take note because Joe should start all 17 games. Okay, very good.
No, because you could see that some of the rollouts and stuff. Joe's not escaping anybody, and he's not making plays with his legs.
He doesn't need to.
You know what?
He leads the NFL in completions, attempts. He's third in yards.
In the same way that the Niners can survive.
Should have started him in fantasy.
Potentially missing on the number three overall pick from the draft 2 years ago, which is definitely we're way ahead of ourselves for even assuming Trey Lance will be that or could be that. But if Lance somehow watches Jimmy Garoppolo take the reins here, Niners can survive that. Jets need Zach Wilson. Take note. Watch Joe Flacco and what he did. Oh, my God. And Browns, thanks for not trying to run down. Thanks for giving up with a minute 55 to go.
Right.
Really appreciate it.
I will say the elf wasn't as big as I thought it was.
Oh, it was huge.
That'll be a little bigger.
They're 0-1 with the elf.
See, Rich. Let's not get started.
Should we put in a waiver claim for Flacco in the Alice in Chains League?
I think we're going to win this week, aren't we?
We are.
Joey Chestnut's colonoscopy came out with the win.
Well, we still have tonight to go, but we are projected.
We're up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Projected.
Tonight, I need Derrick Henry to not be outpointed by Josh Allen by at least 9. Not looking good.
I need about 50 from A.J. Brown.
Hey, man. Three comebacks. You saw three comebacks this week in real football. Yeah. Including the Jets. I mean, the Browns, bro. Seriously, take a look at that video of Corey Davis running.
Oh, yeah.
And I did think of the Pittsburgh Pirate third baseman who was eating sunflower seeds.
With his glove off.
With his glove off as the Mets were scoring a run.
As the play's coming to his base. Was that?
That's what it looked like to me. It's just the Browns weren't eating sunflower seeds. They're like, yeah, you score. We're still up by 6. We'll get the onside kick and get out of here. Except, you know, they didn't get the onside kick. Man.
The Pirates had a guy with a phone fall of his pocket and a guy eating sunflower seeds.
I don't know. That is not good.
What's happened?
That's what I say. I love O'Neill Cruz, though.
O'Neill Cruz is a beast.
Yeah, they're set at short.
Jesus, he's good.
Oh, well, they're not set at short because O'Neill Cruz is not long for Pittsburgh, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know. We'll
see. Rich, he's not.
Oh, we all three of us have got our eyes on him?
No, but he's just, I know the Pirates.
Yeah, we got, maybe.
Chris Long coming up to break down week number 2.